it's culture night. I can tell because there's a lot going on behind me that you all can hear. So I'm going to try and speak up, and hopefully you can hear me. Can you hear me in the back? All right. All right, cool. This is a trick where I just pretend like I'm saying something important when I'm really just stammering because I'm like super nervous because you're all really great and you're all really looking at me. That's great. Cool. So I'm going to read... I'm going to show you some poems. There you go. I wrote this poem in the Highland Inn in Ballyvaughan. It was the first place that I'd ever been to in Ireland. I moved there for a month. Sorry, that light's super distracting. I'm sorry. That's okay. I can't see anything. All right, we're good. I moved to Ballyvaughan in 2017, only for a month, but I got to do a creative
residency.
That's the one. Jesus. All right, and that was super fun. In the Burren, a lot of inspiration. Wrote this poem in the pub, the Highland Inn. So here we go. If you were to find me, it'll be next to the seat that I've saved for you. I'm still a bit sober as of yet, though the taps will bow before the pen gives out. If you prefer me pissed, then walk a lap to the bog and back. It won't take but a song or two. A woman will ask if this seat is taken. Her cheekbones will be cupped, hands overpoured with freckles. They will spill through her fingers, splash over her shoulders. I will wonder to what God she prays that would let loose such a heaven. I would wonder what brilliant clock would stutter long enough to hide such poetry in the stars across her. I would wonder why words have yet to know my tongue, so I wash them back with a pint. If motivation is to join me on the sesh, may it arrive a sopping baked. May it be draped in the three sheets that the wind takes for its own. May it kick the loo door down to watch me knocked upon the throne. May it grab me by the ears, stare into my face, and yell, "Is your blood not filled with ink, man? Is your chest not filled with hearts? May my spirit be as saved as this barstool. May this barstool grow a lighthouse from its back, steal the breath from your lungs, feed it back to you in beams. Let that which needs to find me do so when it must. May I recognize the sails before it passes into dusk." Thank you. That was when I didn't realize that I was searching for something until I wrote the poem. And apparently I was. This next poem... I'm going to spit over the microphone, apparently. This next poem is called Galway Gone. I wrote it in that month that I was living in Ballyvaughan. I would come up to Galway every weekend, and that's really when I fell in love with Ireland the second I got off the plane. But when I would go up to Galway on the weekends, that's when I discovered a community. There's an open mic up there at the Roisin Dubh that I checked out, and I met my good friend Ashlyn, and then she introduced me to all her friends, and then I just fell in love. Like, this community really hooked me in, and I mean, I was only there for a month, but then after the month, I was like, I'm moving to Ireland. that's her fault. So I wrote this poem on a really cool night that we all had out. It's on page 32 of my book, which you can purchase. Nail Gun and a Love Letter. There are 6 copies here. Come up and we'll talk price. Anyway, this poem's called Galway Gone. Looked for it in the poetry section where the wallpaper is 10,000 books, your name on the back pages in pen. Searched curled up in a beanbag chair in a secret garden. reached through the tea's steam where your voice would bob and leap. Cobblestone streets are warmest before I get there. Swear I caught love in full glimmer, folded into the back corner of an open mic. Sprawled out on a dance floor under 400 Doc Martens and then lifted high on a blues woman's drawl. Bushmills bottles clanked an Irish wind chime in my new friend's kitchen. Morning came before the chance, never left a note, just this kicked keg of a hangover and a razor-bladed sun. Love calls me swift with the biting wind in the quick snap of road round a tattoo shop. When you removed your glasses to clean them, I foraged for love under your eyes, made my notebook build to burst with the stones your cheekbones follow in shape. May I catch them all before they hit the ground. May my grip be as strong as love's ability to tuck into every shadow. Let us hurl our throats into the salt hills. Let us hold hands home with no voice to split. Let love pick itself off the bar, collect its hangdog tab and dry breath. May I muster the feet for a classic whiskey stumble back to bed. Another fit of rain. It always rains again. Started when the sun was a gold clotter ring on a four-fingered sky. Now the Atlantic is all dark belly hung over Green's pub. Doors open at 7. The only open business now is a cafe, and it keeps my wet bones warm while I wait. Every soft accent spun through the door is my fickle blood's fire. I am sure of this, as true as the rain's imminent triumph in death. If there is no lights out rainbow from Galway to my boots by this poem's end, I will bury them deep in the bog. And now I live here. All right, cool. So I'm going to jump into a something that I grab safe. I think they're. No, I don't know if they're seats, but you can look. I'm gonna kind of dive into a new realm, that I've been. I've been experiencing sleep paralysis since I was 19, 18, and I'm 21 now, or 31 now. Did I fool anyone? So sleep paralysis. Pardon me. Sleep paralysis is this horrible sensation that happens when you're sleeping, where your brain wakes up, but your body doesn't wake up. So it's kind of like when the anesthesia wears off if you're having surgery, but your body still is, you know, can't move. And I'm basically stuck in sleep and I can't move. I don't want to, you know, creep you guys out or anything, but it is a real thing and it's pretty terrifying. So the only way I can seem to get out of it is if I rock and jump out of my skin. That's literally the only way. And it literally takes every bit of muscle, every ounce of energy that I have in me to get out of this. And it never happens on the first try. It's always like I'll breathe and I'll take like 4 deep breaths and then I'll jump as hard as I can and my pinky will move. And that's it. And then I'm like, fuck, and I gotta catch my breath again, and I gotta reel back, and I gotta gain strength again, and I gotta jump again, and then eventually I'll leap out of it. But I now have a partner who's amazing and very sensitive to my calls for help in my sleep, and now she hears me, she'll rock me. She'll put a hand on me and just give me a push, and that jolts me out of it. This sounds like a horror film, but it's a thing. So I kind of want to start writing more about it because I can't find any information online about it. No one knows anything about it. I emailed I'm talking more about this than I thought I would. There's a professor at NUIG who did a PhD on this, and I emailed him. He's gonna send me some small results that he got. But anyway, so I figure poetry is the only thing we can do because we don't have science yet. This poem is called Breaking Out of Sleep Paralysis. It's never the shriek of car alarms that wakes her. Isn't the herald flashes of our broken oven blinking brave? My molars gnawing to dust, or the prickly wind. She sleeps like a stone in a creek. She can flinch, or yawn, or twist at her body's will. She can wake from hollowness, or dream through open dreams. But her mind is always sharp. When I wake before my body does, I notice my slow breaths first. How they rest inside the bag of me, reach once or twice between eternities. I notice my heartbeat second, how it quickens when caught off guard. Thirdly, my bones are axle rods tossed in a heap, strapped to the bed. I die each night inside myself to the grunge of car alarms, of ever howling winds. I grind my jaws and force a plea. It comes out a distant drone. Somehow it always slices through the tight lips and dreams and shakes her alive, enough to press a hand to me and shove a thrust to rock me out of this paralysis, enough to rip new breath into my lungs, to belly up a nightmare, to shock a bell well rung. Wow. And while we're on happy topics, I'll continue with the. I only have one more about this, it happens to me like probably four or five nights a week, and it's really difficult to deal with. But after 10 years and 12 years, whatever, you just find new ways to deal with it. It normally comes with hallucinations, and honestly, the creepy part is, sorry I'm like totally going down this rabbit hole, but education is great. And you need to know that this exists, because I'm sure there are people that have this that don't know other people have this. It comes with hallucinations often, where, and the odd thing is, it's always the same hallucination, no matter where you are in the world, no matter who you are. It's a dark figure that walks into the room, and then they just are nasty. You either hear bad words, or you hear spitting or gnawing, or just feel a bad presence. And then they kind of stand either at the foot of your bed or at the side of your bed, and then they climb on top of you, and then you wake up. And that's what, and it's I thought I was insane, and then I typed it into the computer and I got the same hallucinations listed from a lot of different people, and it's terrifying. I did hear one really nice thing. I heard one really nice thing that kind of made it a little better. Is someone described it as a your soul leaving your body to go see the world, and then it comes back as, you know, to wake you up. It's kind of jumping back into your body to be like, hey, let's start the day. You know, and but your body hasn't accepted it to come in yet. So it's like your soul's like, hello, can I come in? And you're like, no, I'm sleeping. So I like to think of it like that, and honestly, it helped. It helped a lot. So that's how I think of it now. And I'm just gonna say this one last poem, and then I'll get off the scary topic. I'm so sorry. It's called One Thing I Know For Sure Is That If I Can Open My Eyes, I'm Free. This morning I died alone with my eyes open. The rest of me was a wet towel on branches. My heart cramped from trying. Of every truly dead thing that has yet to jolt awake, how many know this weight? How many watch their lovers collapse over them and sob? How many stare at an empty room for weeks? How many hear their killers leave the room or feel the cold sheet drape them? How many watch the clouds brush past as the scared cop phones an alibi? Of the dead as we know them, do they mock us at their wake? Do they rest comfortably in padded maple, get butterflies as they are lowered? What percentage scream each passing second into the empty mouth of God as evidence against death, against everything we thought it was, against movies and scared stories and every well-thumbed rosy reed bead? How many know the coroner's scalpel, hear the incinerator door clink, feel the new flames lick their rigid bodies dry? Woo! All right, now to happier topics like near infidelity. No, this, oh, this poem will speak for itself. It's called Call Me When You Get Home Safe, because I like punishing myself. Call me when you get home safe. We didn't kiss on the bridge in the rain that night. I was made of tequila and you were long fingers reaching. You were good to me and bad to be around. The streets were empty, save sounds of lovers making lover sounds behind us. Save the bits of sober me all tangled in my veins. Save all my many eyes. You waited for me to make the move. I had everything to lose and a gut of urges gnawing. The grain of me in the glare of your eye was as bold as I'd ever be. You told me not to worry. It was just a little fun. We didn't kiss. And the promised streetlights sizzled on. The river continued to take the rain, and the rain-soaked city spun. Woo! 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 I don't know what time I got up here, but I'm just gonna keep reading poems and keep checking over this general area.
You're good. You're
good.
Good.
Okay. Cool. This next poem is called Good Drums. I wrote this when I was in Ballyvaughan. The college there was super cool. I got there and I said, "Hi, my name's Bo," and the lady said, "Hi, my name's so and so," but she said it in an American accent, and I was like, "Ooh, wait, what?" And then she showed me to a bunch of people who would be my classmates. And they also had American accents, and I was like, dude, I've literally never left America before. And I landed the first people I talked to American. It's cool, America's fine, whatever. But
they are everywhere.
Damn it.
Now you know how we feel.
I know.
Exactly.
Poor everybody.
Thanks for being
But no, they, so I learned very quickly that this college was all about integration. They wanted to get people from all over the world to come to this small college in Ireland to learn about the culture and learn about what the burn is like, what Ireland's like, whatever. So they would bring little groups from everywhere. They had a little soiree one night where a bunch of Palestinians came over, and then we were a bunch of Americans who came over. And there was, instruments, drums, everyone was a musician of some sort. They were all super talented. I can't play shit. I just say words. And there was food and drinks, whatever. And then I went up to get a beer, and I came back, and I looked, and there was Americans all circled over here speaking English. And then there was the Palestinians over here all speaking Arabic. And I was like, oh, this isn't why we were here. Why are we doing this? And I think one of them saw me looking like that, and she looked up at me and she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think we were just gonna yell Allah Akbar and blow this place up?" And I said, oh shit, no, I'm so sorry you thought that. And she goes, oh, you're just the first, you know, white people I've ever seen, and I just thought that's what you guys thought of us. So I wrote a poem called Good Drums. A Palestinian musician sings me a song and then asks if she frightens me. Asks if her accent will unplug the skin from my spine, find my hand to the butt of my gun. I don't own a gun. She's not convinced. I don't blame her. I am every news story in every rubbled hospital. I have 10 tanks in my chest. I am the first white man she has ever seen. I am so sorry. I send out search parties to find her ears, her heart. Her grandmother taught her to become a saint of hidden things. Her sisters taught her to become encyclopedia fists and full shoulders when the threat comes. I cannot be a mouthpiece for a battalion, but I can pick up a drum. I follow her lead. We bumble, we stop, regroup, we blend, become composers in a foreign land. If we could drown out bombs with this crack, then the sky could open like a music note. If we could calm these fires, if we could kill this television in a chorus of climax, we could be a fat thumbprint and a memory. We could be a moment's hesitation and a second thought. Her voice pulls the picture frames tight. My percussion sews them to the walls. I never ask what the words mean. She never asks where I come from. We eat the notes from the air. That is every answer we need. This song is not a roll in a flower bed. This is a poem belted through a stereo. This is six generations in powerful ululation. A gallery of painted rocks and broken noses. This is a mosque full of a good God's voice in perfect rhythm with a super fly beat. Are you all enjoying Culture Night?
Yeah!
This is awesome. I'm having a great time. I'm so glad you're all here. And I'm so glad you're here, and you're here, and you're here. And I'm not going to look everyone in the eye right now, but I'm so glad you're all here. It's making me very happy. If you can't tell by my face or my words, my body expression. I'm gonna read another poem from this, Nail Gun to Love Letter. It's $15. I also have this little guy. This is whatever you want it to be. Oh, I only accept American dollars. No, euros. I slipped up. I'm so sorry. I'm gonna blame it on the two Jameson and Gingers that I've had over the past 3 hours. Yeah, whatever. Either way, whatever. There's only six of each, so come and talk to me, and we'll work something out. This next poem I wrote after I moved back to America after I came to Ireland. It's called I'm Not Depressed, It's Just Fucking Raining All the Time. Clouds break a bottleneck moon and heaven bleeds out over Parkside. The city texts me drunk as the hour hand drops, texts me from outside in the rain. I don't respond, pull my wrist slow to the door. Portland doesn't look like my ex. That slug pits in my throat. Choke down a bullet to catch up. Another to breathe right. A third to goat the tilt. She carves kisses into me. She is too wet. Now we are. We lose the coats. We dry to sweat again across the counter. The bed is an island across the sea. I forget how often the soft rain falls there. It is in those fields I remember how to breathe right without the bullets. I would swallow all that Galway rain to boil for her tea, for she to never forget my face. My name is on the tip of her tongue where I left it. Portland digs into me, brings me back with a guttural psalm. I break bread, break dream, break blood under the bottleneck moon. She pulls green clovers from my back by the handful. Portland swallows bullets by the mouthful as she falls from the sky. A whiskey sunset poured over the rocks. Later, I will walk low tide along this rugged shore. I will collect all the bits of the moon shattered into sea glass with the slits in the bottoms of my feet. You're doing great on time. This is nice. I'm happy. I'm just gonna keep telling you that I'm happy because it's fun for me to say. I think it's good. Yeah. Okay. So I think it's good to acknowledge when things are going well because it's so commonplace for people to, you know, humans to be like, oh, today sucked. Okay, why today suck? Because I was trying to look for a parking spot and I couldn't find one for like half an hour, and you're like, oh, that does suck. Yeah, today was the worst. Okay, why? What else happened? I mean, that was it, but like, it sucked. I'm like, oh, your whole day sucked because you couldn't find parking? Like, no, there are so many things that happen in your day. There's so many things. But you know, that one thing that sucks is going to stick with you, and you're going to keep talking about it to everyone because it's nice to say, like, oh, this really shitty thing happened, and that's cathartic, and that's nice, and you should totally do that. But also, it's nice to acknowledge when things are good. If I'm walking down the street with someone and I'm feeling happy that the sun is out, I'll say, I'm happy right now. Like, it sounds stupid, but like, it's true, and it's nice to acknowledge, and I highly recommend that you do that as well, if you want, or whatever. Do whatever you want to do. But it's fun to do. Oh, see? People do it. It's a thing. Alright, I'm gonna do a little bit of a happier one, because I've been doing a lot of sad ones. A friend of mine, I used to work with these two girls, a guy and a girl, and they were really good friends of mine. Actually, the girl looked just like you, so as soon as I walked in, I was like, is that Brittany? No, it's not Brittany. So you're not Brittany. But a friend of mine, she's super nice, and her name's Brittany. I'm not going to tell you her last name because that's confidential. But she and my buddy were together for a little while, and he kind of sucked. He's a friend of mine, but like, he's not a good person to date, so don't date my buddy that I'm not going to tell you his name either. He's in the States. It's fine. Then one day, we were working together, and he came up to me, and he was all sad, and he was like, yeah, man, me and Brittany broke up. And in my head, I was like, cool, good. But out loud, I was like, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And he said, yeah, man, I just wish I had two hearts, you know? I wish I had one heart to love with and one to catch all the blows. And I was like, oh, I'm totally stealing that. So I did, and I wrote a poem. It's called I'm the Man with Two Hearts. He's a chef. He's not a poet. He's fine with it. Alright, I'm the man with two hearts. In the fresh hours of that good love, watch the kitchen bloom. Gourmet feasts my right heart prepared. A thick bisque on the stove, new veggies it grew. Harvested before the frost could brown and gut them. Right heart blossoms best when flourished with food and a woman decent in soul with whom to dine. Left heart holds a steady eye to the dumb one, turns the flame down when the soup starts to burn, dries the wine puddled on the linoleum, sharpens the knives and then falls into them so the other can fall into love unabashedly and breathless. I am the man with two hearts. I am numb to the pain of arrows, of the clever tongue's slick promise. My left heart eats them whole. She never chokes on the bones. My right heart catches kisses. My right heart has a claw to ring. My right heart has a full belly in an attic where he grows dreams. My left heart has a collapsed lung. My left heart's right eye swole shut. My left heart has a solid spirit and a shattered jaw, even still, in the twisted wrench of every midnight storm. Amidst every godless thunderclap, she will rock, she will sing that shaken child back to sleep. So I was very, thank you, you're great. I was lucky enough to win the All-Ireland Poetry Slam last year.
We're proud of you.
You're great. I like your hat and your poetry. I got to represent Ireland on an international stage. I went to Paris and performed there. I'm going to Madrid in 2 months to perform there, and then Italy in March, and I'm super excited about it. The All Ireland Poetry Slam is happening in October, and after that, I will no longer have the title. And this is my last performance as the All Ireland Poetry Slam champion. And I don't ever like to be like, hey, look at me, but like, I'm so I have to say it because it's my last one, so it's my last one. It's not my last one. It's not my last show ever, but it's my last show as the All Ireland Slam champion.
Unless you win it again. Yeah.
No. I'm not competing. Behind the scenes now.
Three both. You're saying you got five.
Five. Okay, perfect. I'm gonna do two of them back to back. I love you in the middle because I love you and you're all great and you're fantastic. Okay, cool. So this is a poem. I once dated a girl who had a little girl, and it that was fantastic. And I was 18 years old and I was like, cool. I was born to be a dad. That's what this means. And then we broke up a year later, and I was like, I'm still born to be a dad. I just don't know when that'll happen. So I've been ready since I was 18. And I'm 31, and it's. I'm sure it's gonna happen someday. But this is about that. The rattling of my cell phone on the glass of the coffee table pulls me from the security of sleep. I check the number on the screen, and my stomach starts to braid itself inside of me. My ribs saran wrap my lungs as I take a deep breath and answer, hello? The voice on the other end of the line, it sounds a lot like the person I thought it'd be, only younger, softer. Well, I fight to keep my words down. An unwinnable war, and they've easily found their way to the receiver. Hey, honey, how are you? I just drew a picture of you and me and Mama and my new daddy and my fish, Sarah. Do you like it? On the other end of the line in the room where we became a family, she sits on the floor, ear pressed to the phone. When you're 4 years old, the world is received on face value. Her little mind can't comprehend why Beau's not allowed around here anymore. She doesn't understand where there's a different person sleeping in Mama's bed. Hey, that's Bo's spot. You can't sleep there, that's Bo's spot. Mama, he can't sleep there, that's Bo's spot. All she knows is that it's been 200 SpongeBob episodes and just as many goodnight kisses since Mama and Bo tucked her in together, and she doesn't know why. I can hear her picking this morning's backyard adventure out from between her little toes. Do you want to come over? Now I fight back tsunami tears. My voice, sidewalk, cracks as I try to come up with an answer that both she and I can understand, but I know that whatever it is, neither of us are going to want to accept. Because it's been 200 broken phone calls, and just as many sleepless nights since Mama and Bo tucked her in together, and I miss my little princess. I miss little hugs from little arms. I miss little stories from little lips. I miss a little girl with unparalleled possibilities. Either of us would automatically reverse the tides just to be in each other's lives, but the cards didn't pan out like that. Fate dealt us in, and we both got stuck with mismatched suits, the one-eyed Jack, suicide watches, the suicide king, and nobody's left to look after us. But this is where we stand, and things can never go back to the way they were. Honey, I can't come over today, but if you give Mama the picture, she'll send it to me, okay? I miss you. Okay. Love you. In her room, where imagination governs reality, she removes the little plastic phone from her ear, presses the little plastic buttons, and throws the toy back into the arms of her toy bin. Fistful of Crayola, a princess draws her fairy tale family in hopes of a happily ever after.
Oh.
Thank you all. You're so wonderful. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mobile. My heart is very big, and I love each and every one of you. Here's a poem about when I was in a bad place, and then I found a way to get to a good place. So I took that. If you're in a bad place, look for the window and jump out of it and get to that good place. It's there, I promise you. This is called Happiness in Old Harmonica. My name's Bo Williams, and I think you're all great.
You think you're great.
Yeah, you're fab.
And it starts like, oh my God. Hold on. Oh, Jesus. I find myself eating brunch with my parents and a girl that I would really want to marry someday. My parents swear they hear daughter-in-law in her laugh, but this girl's a fighter. Says that family sticks to her teeth like tampered candy, digs her cavities with a trowel. Soon, holidays will be comfortable enough to become incredibly uncomfortable. It's here I will teach myself the art of the backpedal. Sometimes we say things we don't mean, and I love you slips off the tongue way too quick. A reckless child in Skechers. We often find ourselves in places we shouldn't. Hunched over dirty computer screens or tiny checkered tiles with our stomach in our teeth. It's under the heavy jacket of vagabond bottles and a bottle cap crown we close our eyes, search for our reflection in our own knuckles, but know for certain that in these places we are never truly found. For those who sweat metal splinters in the hollow seconds after I love you, know that that place should never be a waiting room. If she's not there with confidence in her pocket, she's just elsewhere ready to dance with you. Won't you move with her? Seek her out. She'll be the poodle skirt with the happy feet. So ready to groove, I love you does a mean mashed potato. She'll teach you to dance rubber-legged. My favorite canary stretches her smile from Alabama to Galway. Tells me to look up and hang on with my talons when I start to drown. Happiness is an old harmonica just waiting for me to pick it back up. It wants to rock like a front porch orchestra. I can hardly play, but I'd love to learn. There's so much I want to learn. Digest diction and books like a tattooed English teacher. Pump up the speakers in my chest and finally stand up for something. The moment we stop looking for ourselves is the moment we will be found, and I will be found one candle strong alongside 50,000 more. Tie your demons to the twisted roots of the closest tree, and we will walk from this forest holy.
What a treat. Let's give it up for Bo Williams.